It's only a kick. A jump. A block. It's only a serve. It's only a tackle. A run. It's only for the fans. After all, it's only pressure. You got this. Adidas.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial, and with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown, and through adaptable problem-solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Today's podcast is presented by Podgo. Podgo is the easiest way for you to monetize your podcast, providing podcasters with a flat rate for ad space so you always know how much you get when you include an ad from Podgo. I recently joined as a member and you can too. Apply today to become a member and immediately be connected with advertisers that fit your audience. That's podgo.co at podgo.co. And remember, to include the name The Scoreless Thriller Podcast in your application. Thank you.
Man there trying to stop Drogba getting himself into further trouble.
It's a fucking disgrace.
Oh, it's not a bad ball for Pelé on the right side. It's Carlos Alberto. And what a great goal that was. Carlos Alberto.
Maradona just walked away from Hoddle then. Maldano. Open.
Dat we in de halve finale gaan komen met het balbezit voor Frank de Boer. Frank de Boer speelt de bal heel goed naar Dennis Bergkamp. Dennis Bergkamp! Dennis Bergkamp neemt de bal aan! Dennis Bergkamp!
Dennis Bergkamp!
Hello and welcome to the inaugural Scoreless Thriller Podcast Christmas / New Year's special quiz edition. I'm joined as always by Leon. Leon, how are you doing?
I'm doing great. Merry Christmas, everyone.
So Merry Christmas. And we've got a full squad today. We're joined by Rob.
Hello.
And Alex again.
Hi there.
And Colvin is back.
Hiya.
So who is feeling the most confident or potentially least confident about going home with the trophy today?
Well, I did about 5 minutes of rapid revision before you arrived earlier.
But like, what would you revise?
Yeah,
what?
Alex's quiz? So my
Google search doesn't make any sense.
I've played a few of these quizzes now, and I kind of know Alex's approach, so I just typed in bizarre football facts into a web search, and came.
And you got some good facts, good knowledge.
Well, we'll wait and see.
How it goes. Okay. How about you, Alex? How are you feeling?
I googled which footballers were born on Christmas Day.
Oh, okay.
Who do you think? I'll start with the first question.
I may have seen the same. Oh, shit. I think I saw it. No. Is it Letizia? No, Merson. It's one of those lads. Thompson.
This could be a long
question. It's the one of the guys.
This is not how Chris works, Alex.
It's one of the guys.
He is on television.
Gary Neville. Patrice Evra.
Okay, I'll put you
name a voice.
Usually it's multiple choice.
It's Chris Kamara.
Oh, see, I told you. I told you it was like from the Gillette Soccer Saturday guys.
Yeah.
Okay. How about you, Leon? How are you feeling? You've got the most practice with the quizzes.
Yeah, I don't know how it helps.
I'm always like trying
thanks,
to.
Thanks, Rob, for a break.
Wow. Over to
as
the
is
next
a,
one. No
as is a Christmas
anyway.
Special one, we're having a, you know, letting things lie a little bit, so we're having a few beers. But how are you prepared, Leon?
Obviously, very confident. But no, yeah. My approach is like reading your face more than listening to the questions. Do you know the story of the horse that could count? Okay, this might be.
I
a
feel
bit
like
off.
You're about yeah. to tell us. Do I want to know the story?
It could do the maths, and it would always count like 90 plus 73 or whatnot, and it would actually manage this. But it was just anticipating because it could tell like the crowd, and it would get more and more excited. And then when it was actually the right digit, then everyone was like in acceleration and super happy and whatnot.
But how did the horse show, like, what was... So I asked, okay, what's 90 plus 20?
It would stand with the feet.
And it would just stand on the one which is 110.
Exactly. And then stand still. And see, that's what I do with you. So I'm the horse.
Okay.
I'm just reading your face and then hoping that I, you know, by this method can tell...
Have you seen those Facebook ads for those things that you can sort of talk to your dog? And, like, the dog stands on different things. And it's like, the dog is like, can I go for a walk now? And then the person says... No, it'll be tomorrow. And then the dog steps on the other thing, which says okay and stuff.
No.
See, I feel like it's a bit, I'm not sure whether that thing, you know, I'd be curious whether that actually works or whether it's just sort of like for an ad, whether you're able
maybe
to.
Maybe it does.
But it was weird because in the ad it's like, no, we can't go for a walk today. It'll be tomorrow. I feel like it'd be a lot of vocabulary for a dog to understand. No walk today. It's tomorrow.
Yeah, like to anticipate what happens tomorrow.
Yeah, yeah. Like what is the concept of tomorrow?
Yeah. But then, I mean, you know Coco, the gorilla lady, right? And she could
yeah, but
Coco, sign language.
Yeah,
and
but Coco has been more smart than a dog.
Of course, definitely. But this is continuum, right? Like, you start somewhere, then there comes dog, then definitely a long way until gorilla comes along. But still,
yeah.
I mean, something could be understood by a dog, right? I think.
Okay. Anyway.
Good talk. Love this.
Anyway, so the format for today's... Oh, before we get into it, I should tell you what you are all battling it out for. So, for the victor of today's... inaugural Scores for a Podcast Christmas / New Year's quiz. You'll go home with this beautiful gold gnome. And he also lights up. If I can get at the thing here. This.
Oh,
okay.
Wow.
Yes. Yeah. See, it works perfectly in an audio format when you're just, everyone's like, oh.
Very nice.
This is very gloomy. It's a bit like a night's light.
Gloomy. Look at all this.
Well, when the light is on, it's a bit gloomy.
Okay.
Merry Christmas, everyone.
Not in the Christmas spirit. Okay. All right. So let's get to the quiz. So there are four rounds.
Can you please also ask Corbin how he feels about the quiz?
Oh my god,
Alex.
Corbin, how do you feel about the quiz? You haven't been on the podcast for ages, so do you feel like you're a bit, you know, lacking match sharpness or something like that?
I feel like the last quiz was the hardest quiz I've ever been part of, so don't have high confidence.
Which quiz was that one?
There was a lot of things about red cards.
Oh, the red cards one, yeah.
And I think we just had to go for the most ludicrous answer.
Oh, yeah,
and,
that was quite hard. I remember the question particularly about, like, what's the record for the most red cards? And the answer was 36.
Yeah. that was tough. But maybe this time it'll go better.
Yeah, but so, this time you'll be sort of, like, not battling against me, you'll be battling against... these lot.
That's
so
true. And we did have to negotiate last time on our answers, so this time I get to go my own path. So hopefully that will help. That'll help.
More blaming it on the others.
Yeah.
Wow.
That's
very daring.
No, don't hold back, Colin. Don't hold back. So we've got four rounds of five questions today. The themes of the questions are what are they really? So this round one will be about Christmas. Christmas and football. I was trying to think of, you know, make it all about Christmas, but then I...
Look at all these tryhards, they're writing it down.
Oh, yeah, they're like, this round is about Xmas.
All right.
Leon, that's you're looking at your phone, that's cheating.
I'm trying to think out the name of the horse. What should I Google? Horse that can do math.
Talking horse. Okay, so the first round will be about Christmas. Then we'll have... round two is a sponsored
it's
segment.
Clever
by
Hans.
Wait, what's the name of the horse?
Clever Hans.
Clever Hans?
Yeah.
Okay.
Seems to be a German horse. Oh, yeah. Der Kluge Hans.
Der Kluge Hans. Okay.
1907. Okay, sorry. Back to the quiz. Okay.
I'm not sure how much of this will be cut out or not. Okay. Anyway, so the four topics for the quiz are Christmas, Then we have round two has been questions by our good friends at questionablequizzes.com, and they have sponsored this segment in round two. So there are five questions from their websites. Then round three is going to be about injuries, bizarre injuries. And then round four is called Weird Stories. So...
I love those.
Any
bizarre injuries
and weird stories.
So I'm assuming none of the weird stories are about injuries.
Or if you're lied to.
Okay. Alright, well, we crack on with question one, round one, Christmas. Question one. What was peculiar about Norwich's win over Brighton on Christmas Day 1940?
Oh, Rob. Rob, oh my god.
So long ago.
You know this one?
I was very young back then.
Okay. Right? Okay. Does that have anything to do with it?
A. Norwich.
Stop, what choice? I forgot. It's going to invent something then.
No, sorry.
What were you writing down?
Yeah, that's true.
Every question will have an A, B, and C, and D answer. A. Norwich got away with playing 12 men. B. Brighton had to put their kid man in goal after their only goalkeeper got injured. C. Brighton only turned up with 5 players and made up the numbers by picking 6 fans from the crowd. Or D. Norwich were the better team.
Very good. Very good.
Okay. One more time.
So our options are: Norwich got away with playing 12 men. Brighton had to put their kit man in goal. Brighton only turned up with 5 players and made up the numbers by picking 6 fans. Or the last option: Norwich with a better team. Question number two: which band released the single "All Together Now," which was inspired by the World War I Christmas truce match? I'll just play a little bit of the song.
Sing it. You always sing the songs.
Very emotional.
Isn't this based on Canon in D? Like the classical song? Yeah.
That's a belter, but I cannot remember for the life.
I know that the melody is Canon in D by Pachelbel, which is a very classical song. Does it count?
Okay. Oh no, I think I know who this is. Let's see.
Was it A, The Farm? Was it B, The Lass? Was it C, New Order? Or was it D, The Lightning Seeds?
Wait, what was the question? What was the band? Name
the
band.
Which band released that single? The Farm, The Lass, New Order, or D, The Lightning Seeds?
And the tenuous link is about the football match that happened on Christmas during the war.
Yeah.
Christmas truce.
Very tenuous.
That's so rude. Tenuous.
He was waiting.
Probably stronger in music, to be honest.
Also, what was it? I think it's the theme tune to the Football League on Sky Sports as well. So that's okay.
Oh,
that's
okay.
A good. That's
okay.
A good. Are you ready for question three?
Aye.
Rob looks very confident.
Yeah. What was special about the 1948 Christmas Day match between Chelsea and Portsmouth at Stamford Bridge? A. It was the first match to use floodlights. B. It was the first time programmes were on sale. C. At halftime, the players had a Christmas dinner together. Or D. A referee was injured by a fan throwing a mince pie.
Oh dear.
What year did you say it was? 1948. Okay.
Number A again, please.
First match to use floodlights. Are we ready to move on to question number four?
Yes, we are. I think so.
Mm-hmm.
Boxing Day 1963 saw Mammoth 66 goals in the 10 Division 1 fixtures. What did the Times put this down to? A. A series of hangover-inspired listless displays. B. A mixture of icy conditions in some places and rain and slush in others, or C, a number of players looking like they had overeaten?
Is it just three answers?
Yeah.
Whoa. Why is it just three answers?
Why couldn't you come up with a...
You lazy fool, Alex!
I know, I've now realised that I've written one of the options there twice. Alright. Question five. Last question on round one. According to a former Cheshire Regiment officer who spoke in 1983, what did the winners of the World War I Christmas truce match get in the way of a trophy? A, a hare. B, a turkey. C, a signed army shirt from the losers. Or D, they got to keep the football. So how are we feeling after round one?
Oh, I've got the same letter.
He's not going to.
But then the worst thing is when you don't have confidence in any of these letters and then you just change one randomly. Just like, oh no, this is then C, I guess.
But that would be pretty baller, Alex, for you to turn around and be like, round one, every answer was D.
Do you have that many Ds?
No. I specifically actually chose the letter that I didn't have the most of to throw you off.
All right, we're going to go to answers now. We're going to employ the honesty rule where you're going to mark your own answers.
Whoa.
Okay,
I've already crossed one out, so that wasn't to change.
Yeah,
I crossed out like half of it. So.
Okay, all right. Question number one. What was peculiar about Norwich's win in 1940?
The B.
I'd love it to be D, but I've not actually put D.
What option have you gone for?
I went for B as well.
You went for B, kit man and goal?
Yeah.
How
about you, Alex?
I went for A.
12 men on the field.
Yeah, my theory is, I feel like, I read about this all the time, about these games where they played on in the mist, in the fog, and the referee couldn't tell how many players were on the pitch. This is quite a common occurrence, I think.
That's so logical.
Yeah.
Also sounds so Scottish somehow. Like mist over the pitch.
I'm sure, and I've seen photographs and these stories about the goalkeeper stayed on the pitch an hour after the final whistle gone because he couldn't see where the opposition were.
Yeah, but that's what I thought, and then I thought maybe it's not special enough for Alex, right? Because he always comes up with crazy stuff. So 12 players is kind of like, it happens.
What option did you choose?
A B.
B, the kit man and goal?
Yeah, kit man and goal.
Also went B.
Okay, three Bs.
So I can tell you that you are all incorrect. The correct answer was Brighton only turned up with 5 players. And they needed 6 players from the crowd.
See, always pick the most.
That was the most fun
one.
Do we need the score from this game?
Unsurprisingly, Norwich won 18-0.
So D is also true.
It's just a minus point for Alex.
Okay, question number two. Which band released the song?
Oh, I put A because anyone hadn't heard of
The Farm?
Yeah,
same here.
Farm.
I put D, but I forgot who it was.
The Lightning Seeds?
I didn't know
that. I can tell you that the correct answer was A, The Farm.
Yes! Yeah.
Question number three. What was special about the 1948 Christmas Day match between Chelsea and Portsmouth?
Oh, floodlights, right? Was that an option?
Yeah, A was floodlights.
I went A, floodlights.
What about you?
Yeah, I went for the same.
I went for D. Forgot what it was.
The referee in the mince pie?
I went for floodlights as well.
Okay, I can tell you that you were all wrong. The correct answer was B, first time football programmes went on sale.
Boring answers.
Yeah.
Yeah, but it's nice to have
players. So whoever gets the most wrong wins, right? That's how we're doing this.
Okay. Alright, question number four. Why was there so many goals on Boxing Day 1963? What option did you go for, Rob?
I like the
I'm
Rob.
Already regretting this. I went for C and it was like eating too much.
Number of players, overeating.
Yeah, I guess if the goalkeepers ate too much, they can. Yeah, I don't know.
What about you, Colvin?
He went for D. I can see it on a sheet, but now he's overthinking this.
I went for the. I can't remember. It was A, the one about. The
Hangover?
No, sorry. I wanted to do the one about the weather, right? About the
icy conditions. Yeah, that's B.
B. Okay, I'm cheating.
Of course,
no, no, it's so suspect. I can see even, he's put A.
There was, I didn't read out. I didn't read out a D. There was just A, B, or C.
Oh,
yeah. Fair enough. I mean, if you put down D, I guess.
What about you, Leon?
Oh, A. It was the
Hangover,
best, the best written one.
Yeah.
No, that was not Hangover. It was A.
That was
Hangover. Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay, Hangover.
I also went Hangover, but I'm also doubting myself now. On the,
one of us
but
is
I'm
right.
Yeah,
one of us is right.
This is going to be decisive.
Okay, the correct answer was B, icy conditions.
That's
what
I meant, right?
I had D. How does this count?
What was D? I can't even remember.
You had D.
No, you had A.
I didn't read out a D.
I get it. It's D. There wasn't a D.
Well, you changed your answer before.
Yeah, no,
it's fine. All right.
Oh, I had D.
Question number 5. What did the winning team win in the Christmas Day Truce?
Oh, I said the football. D.
Yeah, I went for the football as well.
Yeah, I went for the football.
Oh, I totally missed B. It makes way more sense to the D.
You said B, a turkey?
I just heard A game. I forgot the truce. Anyways, oh well.
I think you were the closest, but the correct answer was a hare.
Oh well.
All right, so let's have the scores for round 1.
Brilliant.
Very impressive.
What have you got, Leon? Not I don't know why I keep getting your name.
Mr. Quizmaster, please focus. No more beers for Alex at this point.
What did you get, Rob?
I got 1 out of 5.
Everyone got 1.
No, I got none.
You got none, yeah.
Wait,
you got 2.
I've got a controversial
got
2.
Yeah.
Okay. Alex got 2. What about you, Leon?
I got 1.
Okay. So it's close. Round number 2, which is... questions selected from the website questionablequizzes.com. So we have 5 questions here. Alright, question number 1. What was the height difference between Diego Maradona and the victim of his Hand of God goal, Peter Shilton? Was it A, they are the same height? Was it B, 20 centimeters? Was it C, 40 centimeters? Was it D, 60 centimeters? 20, 40, 60, or were they the same height?
What's that? Like?
Yes.
Can we get a conversion, maybe?
This is a hard one, though, because now, I mean, we're used to your questions, right?
Yeah.
And they're always bonkers.
Yeah. These are real questions. These are like actual football questions.
Not that it really helped us in round 1. But now I've got nothing to work with.
The answers went 0, 20, 40, 60, right?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah. Just checking.
Mm. He's Googling this. Like,
I want to
know. I've got to this.
Here we go.
I've been translated to Scottish, so they can understand.
40.
Yeah.
20.
I chose these 5 questions from a range of themes, so they're not going to be all on one thing. But yeah, they're all from the questionablequizzes.com website.
Okay.
Shout out to them.
All right. Are we ready for question number 2?
Yes.
At the 2002 World Cup, who finished as the tournament's top scorer? A.
2002.
A. Ronaldo. B. Miroslav Klose. C. Ronaldinho. Or D. Christian Vieri. At the 2002 World Cup, who finished as the tournament's top scorer? Ronaldo, Miroslav Klose, Ronaldinho, and Christian Vieri. Are we ready for question number 3?
Yes.
No.
Which country was not making its debut at the 2002 World Cup? A. China. B. Costa Rica. C. Ecuador. Or D. Senegal. Which country was not making its debut at that World Cup?
Say the name. Which World Cup?
2002 World Cup.
Say the
in Japan and South Korea.
Yeah, say the countries again, please.
China, Costa Rica, Ecuador, or Senegal. Are we ready for question number 4?
Let's do it.
All right.
Question number 4. At the 2018 World Cup, who finished as the tournament's top scorer? We have A. Romelu Lukaku, B. Antoine Griezmann, C. Kylian Mbappe, or D. Harry Kane.
Yeah, that's a nice easy one.
Don't say that. Don't say
that.
And the last question in this round is, at the 2014 World Cup, Germany shocked Brazil, beating them 7-1. But what was the halftime score?
Oh, I didn't watch that game.
Was it A, 3-0? Was it B, 4-1? Was it C, 5-0? Or was it D, 6-0? 3-0, 4-1, 5-0, or 6-0? So how do you think you did in round two, Rob, Alex, Leon, Colbin? Better than round one? Or?
No, I have no idea.
I just need to get any of them right to do better. So I'm
open. I think I got one right.
No, this round, right. This round is better. Mm-hmm. I feel like this round is better.
All right.
Is that four?
Let's go for question number one. What was the height difference between Maradona and Peter Shilton? 20, 40, 60, or same height?
I went 40. Middle of the road.
I went 20 centimetres.
I went 40.
Also 40.
The correct answer was B, 20 centimetres. Ah!
He's running away with it.
I thought 20 was boring. I thought like either none or 40.
Mm. Or 60.
20 happens. 20 happens. But yeah. No, it's fine. Yeah.
All right. Who was the top scorer at the 2002 World Cup?
Not much thought went into this. I kind of guessed with Ronaldinho.
Yeah, it was a toss-up between Klose or Ronaldo. Because I know like Ronaldo was on fire then, but Miroslav Klose is what, the all-time top scorer?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So he had to bag a few at that tournament.
But he was like quite a few, though. Like,
yeah, was that sort of thing? Is that why he's got so many?
Which I'm going to have to press you for an answer, please.
Yeah, no changing this time.
I went with Ronaldo in the end.
I actually went with Ronaldo too.
Oh no, if he went with Ronaldo, then I went with Klose, so I was probably not right.
I went Klose.
The correct answer was A, Ronaldo, with 8 goals.
Yes. Aww. He scored in the finals too. So
yeah, he scored 2 in the finals.
I didn't watch that World Cup.
Alright.
Just because Balak got a red card though in the match before and couldn't play.
Yeah, that was the only thing.
That was the
only thing.
That was the only thing.
Question number three, which team was not making its debut at the 2002 World Cup?
I went China. I think they played it before then.
What did you go with, Alex?
I went with Ecuador, was it?
Well, I mean, I'm not going to give
was
you
that one of the options?
Ecuador was one of the
options. What was option B?
B was Costa Rica.
Is that what you wrote?
I'll go with Costa Rica then.
I also went Costa Rica.
I can tell you, Colbin, you have your first correct answer.
Oh, yes.
B, Costa Rica.
Yes. A big old one next to that. That's great.
All right.
Sweet.
I feel like you all got this one right, but who was the top scorer of the 2018 World Cup?
Harry Kane.
Yep, Harry Kane.
Yeah.
This unknown guy. You may have heard of him.
Penalties shouldn't count, but it should only count.
Goals against, was it Morocco, don't count.
I think it was Tunisia,
Stop this now.
No, it's all he got the goals against Panama. I think that was.
That's true.
He
got
one hit off him and went in for the hat trick.
Yeah.
You know, it was a collection.
All right, so the last question of this round, what was the halftime score between Germany and Brazil? I thought this was quite a good question.
5-0. 5-0. BBC commentary.
What did you go
C,
with?
Right?
Well, I got it wrong. I put 4-1.
Yeah, no, 5-0.
I knew the goal was scored after at halftime because I remember, I had my Brazil top on, but I couldn't watch the game. And I was going to the airport to pick up my brother from Scotland. I was in the US. And we couldn't get it on the radio because we're in the US. We're just like going through all of the radio channels to try and find it. And we could only find it in Spanish. And we don't speak Spanish well enough to know what was going on. And so we
actually,
Cinco. Yeah. I found it on the BBC. I got access to the BBC on my dad's.
I love it. Cinco.
Muchos goles.
Yeah. I thought someone had hacked the BBC website. I was like, there's no way. This is a joke. Someone's hacked. I'm like, why would they hack this?
Yes, so anyway, Colton, what was your...
I also already showed.
Do you have any more
you're only allowed to talk
fascinating
about
holiday stories for
what
us.
A contrast.
You're only allowed to talk about gorillas and horses. I put C for the 5-0.
I can tell you that you have doubled your score now. It was 5-0.
I tripled my score, actually.
Alright, How many points did you get this round, Rob?
Stayed consistent with 1 out of 5 again.
I got a healthy 4.
Oh, no need to show off.
Send him home.
Same for me, though.
You got 4 as well. Oh, it's neck and neck.
Okay, at least it's interesting.
I
got
3.
You got 3.
A healthy 3. I'll say healthy.
So at half time, the scores are Rob is in 4th place with 2 points. Colbin is in 3rd place with 3 points. Leon is in 2nd place with 5 points. And our current leader is Alex on 6 points. So we're going to have a short break and then come back with round 3 and 4. So thank you to Questionable Quizzes for those questions in round 2. And we're going to now go back to the sort of traditional bizarre questions on the Scoreless Twitter podcast. So this round is titled Injuries. Are we ready for question number 1?
Yes.
Right. Off you go.
Okay. Question number 1. Spanish goalkeeper Santiago Canizares famously injured himself in the lead up to the World Cup in 2002, putting him out of the tournament. But what did he do? A. Hurt his shoulder ironing his clothes. B. Broke a bottle of aftershave on his foot, severing a tendon. C. Got a severe dose of food poisoning from his mother's paella. Or D. Broke a finger dancing too wildly.
What was A again?
Hurt his shoulder doing the ironing.
I'm just trying to imagine that.
Just very aggressively in a bad mood. So I must iron my shirts.
And then B.
Broke a bottle of aftershave on his foot, severing a tendon. Question number 2. Perennial bench warmer keeper Richard Wright once injured himself in the warm up for a game. What did he do? A. Fell over wrestling a ball from a ball boy. B. Slipped in the tunnel on his way out to the pitch. C. Tripped over a please keep off the grass sign. Or D. Got hit on the head by a ball thrown back from the crowd. Would you like the options again?
Yeah, one more time.
Fell over wrestling a ball from a ball boy. B. Slipping in the tunnel on his way out to the pitch. C. Tripped over a please keep off the grass sign. Or D. Got hit on the head by a ball thrown back from the crowd. Question number 3. Swiss footballer Paulo Diogo had a freak injury celebrating a goal for Servette, which resulted in him losing a finger. How did he do it? A. He was bitten by a rival fan during the celebrations. B. A wild dog entered the pitch at this moment. C. He got it caught on the metal perimeter, fence separating the fans from players. Or D. During the pylon celebrations, one of his teammates stood on his hand. Do you need the options again? Bitten by a rival fan during the celebrations. B. A wild dog entered the pitch at this moment. C. Got it caught on the metal perimeter fence, separating the fans from players. Or D. During the pylon celebrations, somebody stood on his hand. Question number 4. Former Manchester United goalkeeper Alex Stepney bizarrely injured himself during a game doing what? A. Shouting at his teammates so much he dislocated his jaw. B. Tackling a dog on the pitch, injuring his knee. C. Getting twisted up in the goal net. Or D. Falling over the advertisement boardings, retrieving a ball.
I'm thinking the same thing.
The listeners have to believe that this is a, you know, a fair game. Okay, question number 5. What was funny about... this is a Christmas question. This should be in the Christmas round, but I don't know. Never mind. It's in the injuries round. Question number five. What was funny about 1937's Christmas Day fixture between Charlton and Chelsea? A. The game was called off after they lost their only ball. B. A fan threw a Christmas pudding at the referee. C. The game was suspended due to fog without one goalkeeper realising. Or D. Charlton forgot to turn up, so Chelsea won by default.
One more time, please.
A. The game was called off after they lost their only ball. B. A fan threw a Christmas pudding at the referee. C. Game was suspended due to fog without one goalkeeper realising. Or D. Charlton forgot to turn up, so Chelsea won by default. Colvin, how do you think you did this round?
I put a lot of the same letter again. But I tried to go with, like, what was the most outrageous one? Just for fun.
Is that your rule?
Just for fun.
Is that your rule for my questions?
Fun. Yeah.
How do you judge which is the most outrageous
can you give me the last one more time?
More important matters.
Oh.
The last one was Charlton forgot to turn up.
And the second one?
Christmas pudding.
Oh.
you were hoping that I would give different answers? Sorry.
Yeah. Hoping for one. At least one.
Okay.
Yeah.
Aim high, Colvin. Aim high.
At least two.
All right, are you ready for answers? Let's do them the opposite way around this time, okay?
That's a good idea.
Okay, so to question number one, what put Santiago Canizares out of the 2002 World Cup? What did you go for?
I'm jokes. Put B. I think that's the tendon one.
The aftershave?
Yeah.
What about you, Mr. Leon? Yeah, that's all right. It's not life and death. It's just a football quiz.
Ah, put D.
Dancing.
D? Dancing too wildly?
Dancing too... No, okay, then it's the aftershave. Put the aftershave.
Beat the aftershave.
Yeah,
beat
the aftershave.
See, it's possible. Mixing up the...
Okay.
Yeah.
What about you, Alex?
I went for the aftershave incident as well.
Okay. Yeah. There's a pretty consensus here. What about
four
you?
For four.
Aftershave.
It's like the most footballer thing to do, isn't it? You know what I mean?
Yeah. There are stories about, yeah, footballers, you know... Because their instinct is to catch things with their feet, you know, like trap it.
He was a goalkeeper, yeah. Though. He'd like catch it with his hands. But I can tell you that we have a full house, everyone got it right.
Yes! That's really annoying. No, but also it's kind of the story that you would tell when you injure yourself, right? Like aftershave. Falling on your feet is a very manly way to hurt yourself.
Do you think
right?
He was lying?
Is it? Aftershave. You know,
like
you're
a hair
shirt. I think that kind of sounds like ironing a shirt. I don't think, like, I mean, I would hope for that would, you know, people would communicate this, but I can only picture that people would just be like, yeah, no, it was aftershave, you know. It's just like.
Who's the Real Madrid player that was out because he got infection from shaving his legs?
I don't know. I cannot confirm or nor deny that. You are imagining that.
I mean, I'm very quickly googling. Oh yeah, Marco Asensio to miss Real Madrid's Champions League opener with an infected pimple after shaving his legs. Good knowledge, Alex.
No.
That should have been a question.
I'm back to the end.
Alright, question number two. How did keeper Richard Wright get injured in the warm-up?
I hope it was the keep off the grass. I hope it's that one. Is that C?
Yeah, well, I had to go with that one. Yeah.
You went for
keep
off the grass.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
What about you, Ads?
Yeah, I went for C as well.
Oh no, I went for hitting the head with the ball from the crowd.
I can tell you that we have 3 out of 4 correct.
Yes.
Oh, Rob, I had quite high expectations of you.
I so quickly removed C. I was like, have those signs.
That's what I thought. Like,
yeah.
They would have keep off the grass. But,
it could have been. They didn't say it happened in the stadium. It could have happened at a park. It probably did.
No, it did. It happened in the stadium.
Oh, it did.
Become a police officer.
Oh, man. I'm so sorry, Rob. Okay, question number three. How did Paulo Diogo lose his finger, Rob?
Caught on the metal between the pitch and the crowd.
I went for D with the celebration, overzealous
celebration. Okay.
Celebration.
Someone stepped on his hand.
Same as
celebration. Oh no, I've gone with a metal. Now I'm scared. Your bad luck.
I tell you that Rob and Colvin are correct.
Yes!
I thought this was a relatively well-known story. Yes, caught on the perimeter fence. He also he got booked for over celebrating while the stewards were looking for his finger. No, yeah, it was a lesson to not wear jewellery on the pitch because he was wearing a wedding ring and that's what got caught on the fence. Oof. All right, question number 4. How did Alex Stepney get injured, the goalkeeper?
What do you think I'd put if I went for the most outrageous?
Shouting at his teammates?
Yeah, hey.
What was D?
Oh, okay.
D was falling over the advertisement boardings.
Yeah, I went for that one.
I went for that as well, but I feel it's too similar to the... To the grass before.
What about you, Rob?
I went for what I thought was the most outrageous, which was C, caught up in the net, because I just...
I couldn't stop laughing. So I can't imagine what that would
look
like.
Yeah, I had to put it, but I know it can't be right.
Colvin, you're making an amazing comeback. You got this one correct. He was shouting at his teammates so much he dislocated his jaw.
I told you, most outrageous.
Yeah.
It's the way to go. Yeah. We had different imaginations of what outrageous was.
But I've been telling this since like 4 shows now and I never do it. Like still, you're always like, that can't be true.
Yeah, maybe in the new year. But I feel like it's kind of a little bit of a letdown if the correct answer isn't the most outrageous one. So then sometimes like, leave it as it is.
Yeah, at this point, I feel like it's a little bit of rock, paper, scissor, where I always think that next time you're going to go for
it's like a bluff.
But you never do. It's always rock with you. It's always rock.
All right, the last question in this round. What was funny about 1937's Christmas Day fixture between Charlton and Chelsea?
Christmas pie. B.
It was a Christmas pudding.
Pudding. That makes way more sense.
It's C.
The fog.
Oh yeah. Fair enough.
Yeah, that was fun.
Yeah, the exact scenario I described in the first round. Yeah, I went with C as well.
Yeah, it's like you had a premonition. C was the correct answer.
Ah, awesome. Thanks, Alex.
Apparently, goalkeeper Sam Barton remained on the pitch without seeing that everyone else had left and was only informed 15 minutes later by a policeman who happened to walk past him.
Well, I thought the premonition was too good to be true. So I was like, I can't see that.
All right, gentlemen, give me your scores from round 3.
I'm doing better. I'm on 3.
You got 3 points?
So yeah, that's 5 in total now.
How many points did you get, Alex?
I got a very healthy 3.
3 as well? Oh, same
how
as well.
How is 4?
Yeah, I know.
How is 4 healthy and then
the
3 very healthy?
The questions were more difficult.
Oh, okay. I got 3.
You got 3 as well?
Yeah, I'm not catching up.
What about you, Colin?
A nice 4.
Nice. Whoa. 4.
Escaping last. That's my
aim. Yeah. That's really secured my place in last.
So our scores going into our final round. We have Rob in 4th place with 5 points. We have Colbin in 3rd place with 7 points. We have Leon in 2nd place with 8 points. And we have Alex just about hanging on to his lead on 9 points. So it's beginning to look a little bit like a 3-horse race. It's not...
It's impossible for me to take this. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I feel like you're most comfortable when it comes to stories, right?
Weird stories.
Outrageous.
All right. In 2010, Portsmouth manager Avram Grant found himself in hot water in the press after being pictured doing what? A. Leaving a Thai massage parlor and allegedly paying for sex. B. Letting his dog shit in the park and not picking it up. C. Entering an adult movie store, or D, parking his car for hours in a disabled parking space.
What year was this?
2010. Avram Grant, the former Chelsea and Portsmouth manager. The only Israeli coach to ever win Manager of the Month in the Premier League. That's a pretty fun fact, eh?
You were waiting for us to say this. I was just about to say, but then you were too quick.
Do you need the options again?
Yeah, one more time. I was too...
I have no idea.
Do you need the option? Sorry.
Yes, please. Yes.
I zoned out for a second.
Yes, please.
Was it A, leaving a Thai massage parlor and allegedly paying for sex? B, letting his dog shit in the park? C, entering an adult movie store? Or D, parking his car for hours in a disabled parking space? Question number two. In August of this year, Irish League Bows midfielder Danny Mandrew was left out of their game with Dundalk with what injury / ailment according to the official club team news? Was it A, he was too tired after an all-night Fortnite session? Was it B, he was gargled or hungover? Was it C, he broke his toe tackling his dog in the garden? Or was it D, his pet rabbit had died and he was too emotional to play? Question number three. Legendary Irish football manager and World Cup winner Jack Charlton died this year. However, in 1995, the night before a crucial Euro 96 qualifier against Austria, the Irish team took part in the now legendary Harry Ramsden's challenge. What was the challenge? A, the team stayed up all night battling legendary Irish darts player Harry Ramsden. B, the team had a press-up competition against Irish bodybuilder Harry Ramsden. C, the team took turns to battle Harry Ramsden, who famously could down a pint of Guinness in under 3 seconds. Or D, Harry Ramsden ran a famous fish and chip shop, and the team competed in an eating challenge which included eating a fish about a yard long and a mountain of chips.
I like all of these.
So we have darts, we have press-up competition, downing Guinness, or the mountain of fish and chip food. Are we all happy with our answers?
I mean, I have an answer. I have chosen one.
Question number four. In 2018, Patrice Evra admitted that he went too far in one of his Instagram videos.
Oh dear. I actually don't remember what this is.
I could never forget this.
When to celebrate Thanksgiving, he did what, according to headlines? A, he headbutted a picture of Louis van Gaal to show his displeasure at the form of the team. B, he licked and sucked the toes of a chicken. C, he ate a whole orange, skin and all, like an apple. Or D, he did a sliding tackle on his son in the back garden for wearing an Arsenal jersey.
Oh, I don't know. It's like I'm the only one.
Are we all happy with our answers?
I think I'll be happy no matter what the answer is, because I think it's like a good mental image.
The final question of this year's now annual Scoreless Thriller podcast, Christmas / New Year's quiz edition.
Brace yourselves.
In 2017, Gabon forward Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang blamed what for his side's loss to Morocco and failure to qualify for the 2018 World Cup? A, some cursed orange juice. B, the black cat that was hanging about outside the team's hotel. C, a curse that an ex-girlfriend had put on the team. Or D, the stadium playing the Congo rather than the Gabonese national anthem. Do we need the options again?
Yeah.
So we have A, cursed orange juice. B, black cat that was hanging about outside the team's hotel. C, a curse that an ex-girlfriend had put on the team. Or D, the stadium playing the Congo rather than the Gabonese national anthem. How do you feel, Colvin? Do you think you equaled 4 in this last round?
No.
Do you think you've sprung a major upset and overtaken these two juggernauts ahead of you and Alex and Jayon? Two juggernauts and a little dinghy.
I just want to keep thinking about Patrice Evra doing whatever he did.
You don't.
Okay,
we're not watching that video. Well, deeply disturbing.
I feel like that's a hint.
All right, we're gonna go. Let's start with Colvin. Okay, so. In 2010, what landed Avram Grant in hot water?
I think I put A, which I think was the Thai one.
Massage parlor and paying for sex.
The parlor sex.
I think I remember you telling me the story, and I think you said that his wife afterwards said it was fine, but I don't know whether I make this up.
It's okay, you can park this in a safe parking spot.
Anyways, my answer is A.
Oh, I've gone for the parking spot, but I really don't feel confident about it.
No, I also went for the parking spot.
Yeah. I can see that.
I can tell you that to my right, Leon and Colvin are correct. It was the Thai massage parlor.
Oh, no.
Can you also confirm the second part of the story?
So it also resulted in this now legendary newspaper headline, which goes, "It's okay for Avram Grant to visit Thai massage parlor, but not to have sex, says his wife." Wow. I think she also went on to say he has a very stressful job, so he needs to let off some steam at some point.
What's like... Okay, no, I don't get into this. It's fine. Continue.
Are we on thin ice with this?
The definition of sex. Fair enough. Let's move on.
All right, question number two. I'm going to bring it over to you, Rob. Oh, yes. What kept Danny Mandrew out of the Irish League game between Bowes and Dundalk?
Oh, I went with the broken toe. See.
Broke toe, tackling his dog?
Yeah,
I went for the same.
Yeah, broken toe.
Mm-hmm.
Also, full agreement on C.
You went C, broken toe? I can tell you that he was listed on the team website as gargled.
No way.
I like that.
He later afterwards rebuked the claims of the team website that he was out of the game with being hungover.
Ah, that was my chance.
Yeah.
I really wanted to be Fortnite, but I thought there was no way they were going to admit that was what it was.
I thought it was the same. Yeah, right. Yeah, exactly, yeah.
Maybe he lied about Fortnite.
It was Fortnite,
drunk,
yeah.
And then that was a better excuse. Just say I was drunk.
That's socially well known, more acceptable. Like.
Yeah, in some ways.
All right, question number three. What did the Irish team get up to before their crucial Euro 96 qualifier against Austria? I'm going to start with you, Colvin.
I was split between, I think, the darts, which was A, right?
Yeah.
And D, the fish and chips I enjoyed. But I put A for the darts. I had no idea.
What was B?
Press up competition.
The what? Press up competition.
Yeah. Did you go for press ups?
Nah, I'm going for C.
C, Guinness?
Yeah.
Yeah, I put down the same. I went for the Guinness. Like, that's very Irish.
Right, so Harry Ramsden is a fish and chip chain restaurant.
No!
I don't know if it's named after the Dutch player or something. But I just went with fish and chips.
I knew it for one. I could still be
wrong. I can tell you that your knowledge of the fish and chip market has come through for you, Rob. It was the fish and chip shop.
That was my chance to steam ahead.
It would be kind of unusual to name a fish and chip chain after a Dutch player.
I said...
You said Guinness. You're wrong. Don't try and...
I put it wrong.
Don't try and work your way into a winning point here.
It's fine.
Oh, I think the lead is impossible now for me. It's a disaster.
All right. Our penultimate question. What was Patrice Evra up to? I feel like you know this quite well, Rob. So
it's etched into my memory. It's the weirdest thing I've ever seen.
Can I guess which one off of that? So is it the chicken feet?
Yes. Yeah, it's the chicken feet.
So him doing unusual things with a raw chicken.
Yeah. Very weird.
I think it's common knowledge. You should not do anything like that with a raw chicken. It's very dangerous. But yeah.
Did we all get this right? Nice. Okay, last question. Until 2021, what did Pierre-Emerick Aubameyang blame for his side's loss? Colvin?
Give us the answers one more time.
Cursed orange juice, black cat, curse from an ex-girlfriend, or stadium playing the wrong national anthem?
So, I've watched games where they play the wrong national anthem, and it's been quite embarrassing for the host. So I'm just going to go with that, because I think that, I don't know. I've never seen him report any superstition, but yeah, going D.
What about you?
The curse from the girlfriend.
Oh, I've gone for the same.
Me too. Yeah, see. I don't know why.
I can tell you that you were wrong, and the correct answer was A. Some apparently cursed orange juice.
No. Cursed orange juice.
Such an innocent thing to curse.
He put on his Instagram that the orange juice was cursed, but So he put on the orange, said on his Instagram the orange juice was cursed and that like some of the team had stomach problems. And then another one of his teammates replied in the comments underneath saying the orange juice was fine. So, so I don't know whether. So let's give our. Okay, so how many points did you get in our last round, Rob?
Two.
Two. What about you, Alex?
I got one.
Oh, not enough to get ahead.
Got two.
Ooh.
I know. I count it.
I hope he's prepared a tiebreaker.
look up the tiebreaker. No, they're ahead of me.
I mean, if you score four, then you win.
What?
Wait, hang on. He hasn't added mine up yet.
I'm trembling.
Seven.
All right. So, are we ready for our final scores? Yeah. Unfortunately, in fourth place, but with a smile on his face, nevertheless, is.
I'm not smiling.
He was a minute ago. Like,
a couple of seconds ago.
Is a solid 7 points for Rob. Well done, Rob.
Thanks.
Thanks for coming. Good job. Good job. Thanks for hosting as well. In third place is Colbin with 9 points.
Better than none. Better than
yeah,
zero.
You, I mean, that if was, you, if you hadn't had such a terrible first round, then you would have been up there. Okay.
Ah, well.
And now we have a joint second and first place. We have Alex and Leon with 10 points, which means we are in need of a tiebreaker question. So our question is, in 1885, Arbroath beat Bon Accord in what is considered the highest score in a senior level football match. What was the final score?
Repeat the question, please.
In 1885, Arbroath beat Bon Accord in the Scottish Cup. What is the score that they beat them by?
The tiebreaker question.
Is about the Scottish Cup.
What the fuck?
That was my...
How biased is this?
My great-grandfather was.
He was participating. He was like on the lines, behind the fog. What? How am I supposed to know?
Closest number wins.
Oh, like final score, but how closest number? Like goal difference is what you're going for, right?
I'll give you.
Or like goal.
Bon Accord scored 0 goals. Okay. How many did Arbroath score?
Yeah. Okay.
Jesus. How many goals can you score?
Do you remember how many?
And there is, yeah. There is a. Like, this is considered the score in a legitimate match. There's been games where there's been more goals, but they've been sort of considered not.
Because we had, like, on the pod, we had, like, a match with insane amount of goals.
Yeah.
But this was still within the realm of legitimate matches.
Which game you're asking?
The one that we had on the pod.
The American Samoa Australia game is considered legitimate. Yes.
Yeah, that's considered legitimate.
The Micronesia under 23
games. But that was
not,
a national.
They're not considered.
That was
legitimate.
A national fixture, right?
Yeah.
But this one is not.
But for instance, we had on the pod the Micronesia under 23s, and they're not. That's not considered a senior level match.
Yeah.
You got your score down already.
Yeah,
you've got it down.
Oh, precious on.
I didn't think you know this.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
I said that was risky.
This is so unfair.
We can record a second.
Where can I handle my criticism? give me a minute. Give me.
It's mine to lose. Put it that way.
Yeah, fair.
But no, I'm gonna lose. Yeah. I said that. So.
Do you have a good idea, or are you just completely guessing?
I have a good idea.
I told you.
Oh, maybe we should. Maybe we should do a different question.
No, you can't change it now. Yeah. You can't change it now. I think.
I wouldn't have known this.
Yeah. Really,
maybe when you try and defend your potential title next year, that will be different.
Okay.
Whoa.
It'll be on German. Yeah.
I want to go for ridiculous, but then I feel like maybe I should not.
Who's Bon Accord?
Okay, I'll give you help, Leon, for a second. So, use the game that we had on the pod, and then use that as a reference.
Okay.
So it's higher than that.
Yeah.
I figured. But then, yeah.
Okay. On accord, we're actually
so
cricket.
Okay, I wrote down the number. Whatever. Let's go with it.
That's fine.
Okay.
Okay.
I mean, you go first. I wrote it down.
Yeah.
You go first.
Okay. Alex, what is the?
Oh no, I
go
first because I have no clue. And then Alex is kind of like, okay. So I wrote down 48-0.
Okay, I'm pretty certain it's in the 30s. I think it's 35-0.
The final score of the game was Bonacord 0, Abroth 36.
Oh,
Alex,
no.
You were first winner.
Very impressive.
Oh, bravo.
Thank you. Congratulations.
Now it will be your job to look after this beautiful golden Christmas gnome until next year.
Yes, it's going straight in the trophy cabinet at my home. Thank you very much.
How does it make you feel? Did you feel coming into the night that you had a good chance of winning, or what was your...
When it was a very niche question, the Scottish Cup in the last the confidence came back.
Rose exponentially.
You don't want it anyways, Leon. You thought it was gloomy, the gnome, right?
True.
Yeah, no, I'm fine.
You insulted the golden gnome.
It's fine. You keep the gloomy gnome.
It was the cursed beer. That's why you lost.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But I think it's probably better that like you don't win the prize, Leon, because you're like on the pod every week, right? So that
I'm completely with you on this one. Still, I would have loved to question that, but a little less biased.
I think Leon should be introduced for the next podcast as runner-up.
All right, so I think this brings our...
What should you be introduced at the next spot then, Rob?
Fourth place position in the 2020.
Reigning loser.
I'm never coming back.
Yeah, how did you feel about the questions?
Try and feel better.
Oh, they were
bit
great.
Of feedback for me.
They were very on brand for your reasons. No, they're very good.
All right. I'm going to thank you individually. Thanks so much for joining, Colvin, this
year.
Yeah,
thanks a lot. It was really great.
Thank you. I'm sorry, Leon, that you didn't...
No, it was great. Thank you so much for the questions. I enjoyed myself a lot.
And well done, Alex. You're going to have to hang on to that trophy and defend it at some point.
Yes,
you know,
I'll be back.
Preparation
next
for next year starts today. And thank you, Rob, for...
partaking.
Yeah, thanks for saving me. I was waiting for...
Yeah, that was such an awkward silence. Like, what was he supposed
thanks
to do?
Thanks for the flat.
There is a wooden spin over there. You didn't get zero.
Alright, on a serious note, I'd like to thank everyone who's listened to the pod this year. It's been a lot of fun producing it for you, and we have a lot of things coming up in the new year, so I'd like to wish you all a happy Christmas and New Year, however you're celebrating it during these times, and we'll join you again in the new year. Bye bye.
Merry Christmas.
Podcast Network.